It's summertime, so we're just going to have a little chat here. I started a new exercise regimen 2 weeks ago, and I figured I needed to change it up. How I would change it up a little bit. So it's like being trained to be a boxer, but you never get in the ring. So it's the same circuit, and part of it is ungodly. Well, the first 3 minutes that you have to jump rope. Now, for those of you who've not jumped rope since you was a little person, I'm going to tell you now that jumping rope when you're an adult is nothing like jumping rope when you are a kid. You don't have the energy. You don't have elasticity. You don't have bounce. Listen, if you can make it, in fact, I should have brought a jump rope. Because if you can make it 1 minute, I mean, it's a big deal. But now you're talking 3 minutes, a break, push-ups. 3 minutes, a break, and the break is 1 minute. Push-ups. 3 minutes, a break. Then you got to put the gloves on. Then you got to hit the heavy bag. And 3 minutes, break, push-up. And so on and so forth. And then you got the speedball. And then from there is when it really goes straight to hell. Yeah, you thought that was the tough part. No. Now you got some crunches. We're not talking about the little 10 crunches you do in your bedroom and get up sweating like you did something. No, we're talking the kind of crunches where, first of all, you got to do the scissors. Anybody familiar with the scissors? All right, so you got to do 20 of those. No, it gets better. And then you got 5 more crunches, 5 different types of crunches, 50 each. Ungodly. I told that man, I said, man, they're going to shut you down if they find out you're treating people like this over here. I mean, just terrible, but it's a great workout. I like the fact that it's totally different than anything I've ever done. It's a good shift. But I've always just wanted to be healthy. I've always valued a healthy body. If they said, well, as an African American, you should get these kinds of checkups or tests by this date, I always worked to go early. I said, well, no, I'm going to start mine 3 years, 5 years before they say it, because I don't want anything sneaking up on me. I want to know. Some folk are afraid to go to the doctor because they're afraid of what the doctor might say. I'm afraid not to go to the doctor because I'm afraid what the doctor might say because I didn't go to the doctor. And so I pay attention to my body, and I realize that taking care of the body is worship too. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your bodies, that means God is looking for your body. He needs your body, and we need our bodies to be in tip-top shape. We need to be strong. Hello, somebody. I'm gonna meddle a little bit today. We need to be mobile, be able to move. Whenever I get on that plane and I go overseas to minister, I think to myself, this is not possible without a healthy body. You can't travel 24 hours, get off the plane, and preach without a healthy body. Hello. So I value my health. I think it's important that I take care of this body. So I put myself through these things that I don't think they're godly, but they work out at the end. You know, so this particular exercise also will help with longevity. You want to be around a while, you got to take care of your body. A lot of people went early because they refused to just take care of their body. You see my uncle, you hear me talk about my Uncle Lester all the time. Uncle Lester, 95. Sister Janice, 95 years old. He still travels the world. The man hit about 3 or 4 continents every year. And the last time I talked to him was around our birthday. My birthday is May 6th. His is May 5th. We always talk on both days. And so he said, well, listen, I'm 8 hours different from you today, but I just want to call and say happy birthday. I'm in Hawaii. He said, we're out at the beach. I said, okay, good. I want some of that. But I need to be available. I need to be available to God. I need to be available to my wife. She says she doesn't want me going before her. So I said, okay, I'm gonna hang in there then and live as long as I can and be sexy. You need energy to do things right. I'm just saying, y'all can work with it however you want to. But I need to be there. I need to be there for my woman. I need to be there for my children. I need to be there for my church. I need to be there for my grandbabies. I need to see my grandbabies. To see your children get married is one thing. To see your grandchildren get married is a whole different deal. Man, if I can walk these little girls on down the aisle or watch them walk down the aisle and observe, it, of course, you know, they're going to hit you up too. So you got to have a little money. You got to have energy to get that money too, right, to take care of all that. So I'm just saying, you know, taking care of the body is an important deal. It's no small thing. But I wrestled for years with my body. I wrestled with my body. Now, you know, I lost some weight. That's been almost 2 years. But I wrestled for years. I can remember standing at the in the pulpit when we were at the high school, and talking about how I wanted to deal with this weight, you know, just working hard, and could never really just master it. It was just a fight. I mean, this went on for some years. And Michelle, Sion's wife, Michelle Williams' dad came and visited one time when we were there. And it was his first time, I believe. Now, he's a retired pastor, you know, older gentleman, full of wisdom, just kind. And he came after the service. He said, oh, I so enjoyed your message today. And he said, one, he said, there's books in you. This is before I wrote a book or even thought about writing a book. He said, number one, there's books in you, so you need to write. He said, number two, I've noticed, I've observed that you're a disciplined man regarding spiritual things. He said, but you need to get disciplined about your body. Old man talking, I got to listen. And I bought a treadmill. No, actually, before I bought that, I wish Ned was here so I could give him a hard time, but y'all can give him a hard time when you see him. But so Ned and I, we started, we decided to get us a gym membership. So I said, okay, one day he'll pick me up. The next day I pick him up. We go over to the gym. It was Export. So we go over to the gym, we get on the treadmill, and we're next to each other. So we're feeling good about it. You know, we walk for 20 whole minutes. 20 minutes. Jump off, wipe the sweat. Whew. Man, we did that thing. Get into the parking lot, then say, hey, I think we should get some sweet. I said, but Ned, we just did 20 whole minutes on the treadmill, man. We can't waste it on some. But he had to get some sweets. Then he didn't want to get a burger. So it was McDonald's after every workout. whatever. Y'all, you act like you ain't done it. All of a sudden, all y'all got righteous about it. When the last time you been on the treadmill? But it was a start. It was a start. We got started. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I got started. I'm not at home sitting on the couch. I got started. I don't know why we told our wives that was happening. That was not good. But then I went on and I said, okay, let me get some equipment in the house. Because, and this is the way I even do when it comes to the word, I have a Bible everywhere. I said, so if I have a treadmill in the house and I have a gym membership, now I've just expanded my options and I've reduced some of the excuses that we all have. Too lazy to go to the gym. Schedule too tight. So I set myself up. I did a few things. I said, number one, I wanted to shop for an expensive piece of equipment. Or maybe not expensive, but well constructed. Because you know some of the treadmills, that belt get to slipping. And you're not going to work with that too long. I said, we got to have a good piece of equipment. So we shopped. We did our research and Gloria and I both had committed to start to work out more and have a regular regimen. And we did that, and we found a machine that was good on the knees. It had a particular kind of belt. It had a warranty that was strong, so in case something broke on it. So we got that. And not only did we get it, the Myers got one, the same machine, and then the Judicious has bought one, and the Chambers bought one, and we all got that machine. Of course, that machine gave us all a little challenge, but we worked through it. Ours is still working. I mean, the last time, in fact, we needed repair. Miss Gloria here decided she wasn't paying no repair man nothing, which she's known to do. Next thing you know, she's on eBay or whatever the base she went and got the part. Yeah, YouTube, figured it out, then ordered the equipment, the part, went in there, got her some wrenches and stuff, and opened the thing up and fixed it. That stroke, that worked for me right there. So anyway, we got the equipment, and that's been maybe 15 years. And I can tell you, for 15 years, we consistently used that piece of equipment. Constantly stay on it, you know, 3-4 times a week, get on it. We try to do 30 minutes. And then last year we went and we bought an elliptical. So now we got the elliptical and we got the treadmill. So the treadmill is crying because it gets no more attention, no more love. But the elliptical, which is good, by the way, an elliptical gives you twice the burn. So 30 minutes on an elliptical is equivalent to an hour on a treadmill. Y'all should be saying, ooh, this is good information. So we were exercising, working it. Gloria and I decided one day, looking around, I even wrote about this in my book, Leadership Essentials, that, hey, we live in a really beautiful neighborhood. And we have nice trails and pond and trees. So we said, well, why don't we take advantage of this space? So we got outside and we started walking, and it started out maybe a mile or two and 3 miles. Now we do 5 miles. So we walk 5 miles and enjoy each other, enjoy the elements. All of this is helping to burn. Am I boring y'all? No. You good? Okay, good. I'm going somewhere with it. Then I hired a personal trainer. She worked for Tommy Vann, and I go down there and they hook me up with some free parking because, you know, parking downtown is a monster. But imagine now, I would drive, that's almost an hour, just to meet with her a couple times a week. And she too was full of the devil. She would do stuff like, you know, the hotel is 16 floors. And she would say, okay, run up to 16 stores. And on every floor, stop, drop, and give me 15 push-ups. Going up and coming down. And what's funny is my wife, my beautiful, lovely little princess, or queen, she says, oh, let me go down there and try that. It can't be that tough. Now, I'm doing an hour. I told her, I said, well, baby, just do 30 minutes. Just do 30 minutes. Don't fool with this woman. Don't let this little young blonde girl fool you. And she came down. It only took one time. Then she said, I just won't go back to that anymore. She was in pain. Do y'all remember when she came? You know what had happened was, I told her, you know, being flipped, just running my mouth one day, I said, you know, no, I'm going to knock this out. I'm going to be consistent. I said, now I tell you what, if I stop coming regularly, I give you the license to come to my church and work me out right in front of the congregation. Man, she came in stilettos. Oh, my God, I was sitting right there. And got up and walked straight down the aisle and said, now drop and give me, what was it, 15? And put the stilettos on them. I said, Lord, have mercy. But you know what? For me, it's just important. Whatever it takes, it's just important for me to work this body. It's important for me to take care of this body. It is worship. It's worship. And I want my worship to be complete. I need my worship to be full. I need my worship to be rich. I need God to know that I am serious about taking care of what he has put in my care. The Bible says I'm not my own. Purchased with a price. I don't know about you. I mean, it wasn't my dad, but it was my oldest brother when I was a kid and I started driving, who would let me drive his car every now and then. And it was meticulous. Now, the one that he had was a blue deuce and a quarter, for those of you who understand that language. Yeah. So he let me take that. But then one day he graduated to a candy apple sedan DeVille. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I mean, he let me cruise that thing, but I knew that I had a responsibility to take care of it. So I take it and wash it up, polish it up, clean the inside, let him know I appreciated the opportunity to drive around in his hog. Yeah. I need the Lord to know that I appreciate his allowing me to ride around in this beautiful specimen of a man. Let the church say amen. So the exercise did me well. Strong heart. You get a strong heart. You get your blood pressure under control by just getting on a treadmill 3 times a week. 3 times a week, 20, 30 minutes, you might be able to just tell the doctor, I don't need this anymore. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying today? Now, I grew up, the way I grew up, we weren't fully educated about these things. So we thought a pill was just the way it worked after you got to a certain age. You just need pills. You don't need pills. The reason you have the pills and the reason the doctor won't tell you about the pills, because he's assuming that you're not going to do anything to change anything. Somebody say you got to change some stuff. But, you know, the exercise was great. But all of what I just described to you, I was working out with Holly one day, and she said, you know, we've been working hard for months. She said, but ain't a whole lot changing in your weight. She said, what are you eating? I said, oh no, I'm good. I said, I don't eat a whole lot. She said, but what are you eating? I said, well, in the morning, I just have me a latte. I mean, that's all I have in the morning. She said, a latte? She said, listen to you latte drinkers. A latte is equivalent to an ice cream sundae. A latte. It's French. A latte. It's equivalent to an ice cream sundae. She said, do you know how many calories you're consuming in that? She said, you're drinking fat. And then my wife, she educated me about that. She said, if you're going to have your fat, don't drink it. Eat it. It's better. So I start thinking about that. I even went to a dietitian, because I told you I'm serious about taking care of my body. Went to a dietitian. Dietitian basically gives me what I got in school. So it's like, you know, the pyramid and all that, all the food groups. I'm like, okay, that really helped. Yeah, here's my copay, you know. So I come out, I'm still just as messed up. And I'm thinking, this ain't working, because, I mean, months after the fact, I'm still carrying around Mr. Dunlap. That's my nickname for this guy here, by the way. Dunlapped over. Whenever we're going out, you know when you're struggling, you have certain areas of the closet that work at different times. So I'm always upset at Mr. Dunlap, because he always wants to go to the party with me. I tell Gloria, Mr. Dunlap wants to go with us today, baby. She gets tickled every time I say it. You know, it's like that commercial. I put the suit on, I said, do I look fat in this? So you got to keep working. But I figured it out. You got to eat. By the way, I just want to show off. Let me see that jacket. Y'all remember the time I showed y'all my weight loss? Toss it. I said, let me show you that I'm still up in there. I told Darren, where's Darren Myers in the back? Darren, you hear me talking to you. I told Darren, I have a section of my closet that I have all the suits that I can no longer wear. And I have them hanging in there. When I get discouraged, or I think Mr. Dunlap is getting out of control, because just because you lose it don't mean he's just going to stay there. He flex. He wants to show who's the boss. And you know, so lately, I got a little bit more love around here than I want. So I said, that's why I joined this new deal, to be able to get this under control and slam it. Because I lost 30 pounds a couple years ago. And I said, well, I can probably do another 10 or 20 and be in really good shape. I can't keep losing a lot, though, because it's expensive. When you got to get more suits, this is the one I put on. And it was around the same time that I got a little illness going, so everybody thought I was sick because of the illness, which angered me, by the way, just so y'all know. I'm thinking, baby, I just worked for 8 months to get this down, and then some sickness gonna get the credit? No, sir. So remember I did that? It's still there. That's all I just wanted to show off. It's still there. Still there. By the way, I got probably 20 suits like this that's in good shape. Some I wore once or twice in the closet. So if you know anybody that's not fat but just bigger than me that needs some suits, I will hook them up if they don't mind looking like me. So let me just tell you some of the things I did real quick. I cut back on beef about 75%. Cut back on the beef. Cut fried foods 85-90%. Soft drinks, never a soft drink drinker anyway, but it's a huge fat factor. Huge. And that includes, by the way, your sweet teas and your juices in the bottle that you think is nothing. Some of the juice is more calorie than a Coke. So, but I reduce that by, I may have a good Pepsi. Pepsi is my thing. I'll have me a good Pepsi about 4 times per year. And when I want to have it, I have it. I figured out that I can eat everything that I've eaten before, just less of it. But a lot less of it. Okay? I develop a list of places that are safe to go to if I'm out. But I try to eat as much as I can inside my own house. Own vegetables, own recipes, you know, substituting some things. So, virtually no fast food. I think maybe, again, that's one of the emergency situations that if I'm going to get some fast food. But even with that, it's like if you got to go to McDonald's, you say the breakfast sandwich is fairly safe. The fish sandwich is fairly safe. Everything else, forget about it. So I try to stay away from that. Reducing portion size is huge. Out of all the things, just reducing portion size. Yesterday I ate lunch, and I ordered off the kids' menu at the Mexican restaurant. So instead of 2 or 3 tacos, you get 1. Beans and rice. Beans, absolutely good for you any day of the week. Rice, not as good, but I get a taste of the rice, eat all the beans, you know, and then even with whatever condiments, making sure that you get something that works out. And so work with that, work with the portion sizes. Gloria and I will often order 1 entree and split it. Even Pastor Hines and I, when we go to our men's breakfasts, very often he and I will take 1 breakfast and split it in half, you know. So all of that is very, very helpful, was very, very helpful. Now, sweets, I got a problem. You know, I like cake and cookies and ice cream. So, but what I did, I just reduced it. Again, just reduced it. I go to a restaurant, I might order a slice of pie, take 2-3 bites, I'm done. I had it. It quenches that thirst that you have for or that hunger that you have for the wrong stuff. Sweets are of the devil. They really are. Another big one for me, eating on a schedule. Eating on a schedule. Let me tell you why. You get up in the morning. You say, well, I'm not a real breakfast eater. How many of you, I'm not a real breakfast eater. Let me see your hand. Right. So forget about it. You tell your body you're going to eat anyway. Because when you do that, one, you're going to eat far less because you don't want it. But you're putting fuel in the body. You don't have to want the fuel to need the fuel. You put the fuel in the body, so you eat a little portion. Okay? Then by 12, no later than 1, I got to do some lunch. Again, hopefully, I can do it before I get hungry. If I eat before I get hungry, I eat less and I make better choices. I'm preaching right now in case you didn't realize it. Eat less, better choices. Some people think, well, I only eat one meal a day. I do good all the way to dinner. The wrong answer. Man, and don't go in the grocery store at that hour. You will eat everything in the place, buy stuff you don't need, get cravings for stuff. So you need to be able to do that. Eat before you get hungry. Okay? Now, meditation is a big deal when it comes to your appetite. Meditation is huge when it comes to your appetite. Notice when the food commercials come on TV. And sometimes it'll shock you because you say, why would they put a food commercial on at 11 p.m.? Between 11 and 1, Wendy's and these guys are hitting you hard because they're open. And they know that if you're not hungry, you eat first with your eyes. And as soon as you see it, you're going to want it. Didn't need it, didn't really want it. But meditation is a big deal when it comes to appetite. So even yesterday, I was getting ready to go for lunch, and I had to control myself because I had a desire for the wrong stuff. So I had to focus. Okay, what do I want to put in my body right now? And why do I want to put it in my body? Then I think about, okay, what haven't I had? I want to make sure I have a good portion of vegetables. I learned traveling abroad, particularly in Africa, that America is the only country you can go to the restaurant and order food without vegetables. No fruit, no vegetables. You can go. You can get your hot dog and fries, right? I mean, you got a little bitty, vegetables that don't count for a whole lot. You can go get your steak. What are they going to give you with the steak? They're going to give you potatoes, right? So a lot of food, no vegetables. The most important thing that we need in our diet is excluded in the American diet. We eat total rubbish. So I decided that, okay, I need to concentrate. Fruit and vegetables. Fruit and vegetables. And so in my day, I'm trying to think and focus and meditate on whether I put fruit and vegetables in my body. Don't always enjoy it. You don't have to enjoy it for it to be good for you. Right? Fruit and vegetables. So Gloria will tell you that I will go out through the week. I'm going to get fresh melons. I'm going to get berries. I'm going to get cherries. And of course, she's juicing now for us. So every morning, she makes me drink this dirt and stuff. And this morning I got up and it was green juice. It's the worst. I mean, it tastes terrible. Except when sometimes she'll placate me with, some strawberries or some pineapple. Something is sweet for me, because I'm like a little boy. I got to have my sweet. But making sure. So I say, okay, if I deviated and decided that I needed a cheeseburger, which sometimes I need a cheeseburger. When I need a cheeseburger, I get one. I try to limit even how much of it I eat. But I get it to get it done with. Cause otherwise, your brain is thinking, cheeseburger, 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 cheap, cheap, cheap. So I just try to work with that. But then I got to come back and say, okay, in the morning I need some fruit. I need some yogurt. I need some vegetables. And so sometimes we'll even go and do straight vegetable meal. But that's all we eat. We'll roast up some vegetables, we'll prepare them different ways, marinate some vegetables, and just do one meal with maybe vegetables and couscous, and you'd be amazed, Even vegetable sandwiches, you can do a roasted vegetable, like your peppers and your mushrooms and these things. A piece of cheese and a toasted bun, it goes down pretty good. But your side of fruit and vegetable, everybody looking at me like, why can't he just talk about the chicken? Fried, greasy, fried chicken. Now, I talk about it a lot, but I really go there. I think I may have had fried chicken twice in the last year, 2-3 times maybe. Every now and then, Popeye looked pretty good. We try to get it baked or put it on the grill or something, But taking care of the body. So let me tell you a few things it took, though, to get here. Number one, took a made-up mind. Say made-up mind. Mm-hmm. Number two, self-control. Number three, it took loving myself and the people I love more than food. Loving myself and the people I love more than food. It took focus and discipline. It was a progressive change. It did not happen overnight. But I chip away, a little piece at a time. Okay? It required me to silence my excuses. We love to excuse ourselves when it comes to eating. Well, child, it's Thanksgiving. You know, I can have a little chili now. It's Thanksgiving. Some stuff you just say, no, that's never going to be consumed by me again, ever. Keep it moving. And it's okay. Say it's okay. All right? And then I extend grace to myself. I extend grace to myself. When I fall off the wagon, I forgive myself. I rehearse what got me there, and I go back to where I was when I was doing it right. So I practice repentance with it. Jumped off. Used to be one cheeseburger a month. Now it's two cheeseburgers a week. Okay. Fix that. Fix that. Apply the disciplines. Go back to your first love and do what you need to do to get it right. Y'all with me today? I got seven questions for you today. Number one, how is your spiritual diet and your spiritual exercise routine? All of what I just shared with you applies to that. I was thinking about our prayer time. You know, now, you have to know this. I want you to know if you didn't know. When I say to you, we're going to pray for 1 month every night, or when I say to you, I'm going to be here at 6 a.m. to pray every morning, I'm not a morning person. I normally only see 6 a.m. if I've been up all night. So to get up 5:15, hit Starbucks, bring the coffee, come in, open the church, come in, it's no small thing for me either. Spending every night at 7 is no small thing for me either. I got things that I could be doing with that time. I wanted to date my wife Friday night. I really did. I had in my mind a restaurant downtown Chicago, and it was a beautiful day. I said, I can go down with her, and we can enjoy ourselves and look at each other and drive around in our little sported car and feel good about life. I said, but you know what? There's some things that are more important that I have to give myself to, and I found that it is an exercise. Just like I get on the treadmill, I need to get on my knees. I said, so I need to take this time and sanctify it, separate it, set it apart to be able to give this time to God. Now, my wife going to be here, and I know this one thing, that if I give this time to him and exercise in this way, the thing about exercise that I discovered is that it is rough, it doesn't feel good, but the outcome is always wonderful. So 7 o'clock might be tough in the evening, but I've lived this life long enough to know that when I set everything aside and give my time and focus to him, everything gets better. Everything gets better. So how is your spiritual diet? How is your spiritual exercise? Because, you know, it does matter. Now, it's okay that you come to church. But then when you leave here, what are you eating? Because, you know, Holly told me, said, now you're doing good to get here. But what are you eating once you leave my presence? Because something ain't changing. Well, I see you coming to church, but what are you eating when you leave here? Because something is not changing. I'm preaching right now. Come on. So how's your spiritual diet and your exercise routine? I found out. I said, now, a month, Lord, that's a long time. Every night at 7 o'clock, I mean, that means all my social thing is gone. It's 2 weeks now. And the other day, I said, wow. I said, now, it's like an addiction. I can't wait for 7 o'clock. I'm looking forward and anticipating 7 o'clock. In fact, it's starting to feel good. 2 weeks in the exercising, right along with this prayer. First week, I tell you what, I thought I had, what's that? What I? Yeah, rigor mortis. One weekend felt like rigor mortis set in. You get out of the bed like this. By the second week, I'm ready to rock and roll. Heading toward week three. I mean, the guy at the place, he looks at me, he smiles, he see me coming. He said, this guy's serious. He didn't know where I was when I first came. And the way this program works is, if you don't sign up for a year, he say, go somewhere else. You're not serious. So I put my money down. I said, let's do this. Doggone it. But I'm like that about my spiritual exercise and my spiritual diet. I found out the first week was kind of tough. I ain't going to lie to you. I got in the first day. You know, there's only a few of y'all here. I said, really, Lord? I said, but it's okay because I'm really not concerned about anybody but me because I'm exercising. I go to the gym. There's a lot of folks exercising. I can't exercise for them. They can't exercise for me, and I'm not in their business. All I can do is pay attention to my thing. My drag got to be tight. I come to prayer. I promise you, when I close my eyes, I'm not thinking about you. Tough getting started, but now it's like, okay, I can do this. I actually had the crazy thought to just finish the year like that. I said, well, ain't nothing wrong with it. You ain't never going to lose nothing praying. Never. And I was talking to someone about eating the other day. They said, listen, it's impossible to eat too many vegetables. Never will hurt you. You can't eat too many vegetables. You can pile them on. You can eat as many vegetables as you want. It's the one thing that you can eat in overabundance and it benefits you. You can't pray too much. You can't exercise that too much. You can't eat too much of the Word of God. Oh my God. Seven questions, I'm running out of time. Number two is, what do you really value? I'm going to just run through these for you. Number three, are you wrestling or have you just given in to the fact? I'm talking spiritually now. Have you just given in to being mediocre? Have you just given in to just being a churchgoer? Have you just given in to disobeying and not listening to any instruction that the Lord gives you? Have you just given in, or are you wrestling? Because I wrestle with mine. I wrestle with mine until I can come up here and show you what has happened as a consequence of my having a made up mind and following through with it. And I need to show you that as your leader. I told the guy, I said, listen, man, I don't like fat, funny looking preachers up in the pulpit, because that says something about discipline. And you can't compartmentalize discipline. If you lazy over here, you're lazy over there. If you eating wrong over here, you're eating wrong over there. And ain't no difference. I don't care what you tell me. The proof is in the pudding, baby. Have you explored ways to improve is number four. Have you even looked at how can I change this? Have you explored ways to improve? Number five, do you have any intentional changes? I mean, did you write it down? Did you come up with a strategy or plan? Did you make up your mind? Did you get somebody? Let me tell you a secret. Tell somebody what you're going to do. Tell a few people what you're going to do. So I'm telling you right now, I'm over here, I'm working it out, and I've told, I don't know how many of y'all, y'all hear me tell you, I there's something behind that. I'm not just bragging, I'm telling you to lock myself in. I'm just following my father. You know, God would say stuff just to lock himself into it. He makes some declarations so that you would have a reference. You can go back and say, but you said. And he's a God of covenant, so he'll say, oh, I did say it, and because I said it, I'll do something about it. So I got to tell you, yo, I'm going to get this together. I'm aiming for a six pack this go round. Yeah, I'm tired of the keg. I'm aiming for a six pack. And y'all might have to see it. I might have to show it off. Just go with me. Go with me. Go with me. Come on now. Preach, Reverend. I got questions for you. What are your excuses? Who are you blaming now? Because you know that's all. It's always somebody to blame. It's never me. That's straight from the garden, baby. That's just Christianity 101. Who can I blame? It's that woman you gave me keep fixing that food. You ain't got to eat it because she fixed it. Just say no. You know, somebody got to be the leader. When it comes to spirituality, I'm amazed at what people blame. You know the preacher is number one on the list. And you got to leave that church because they didn't treat you right. No, your stubborn behind did not want to obey God. Because you know what? You can obey God in any scenario. You could be in the worst church and obey God. You could be in the worst church and obey God. Because all you need is the word. If you got the word, you get the word for yourself. Don't nobody need to spoon feed you all your life. You get the basics. Somebody go ahead and put it in your mouth. You know. You know, Miss Irish, she just holler, eat. You need a sentence, just eat. See, you can feed yourself and you can stand on that word in the middle of nonsense. I got questions for you. Number seven is, have you made up your mind to eat right? To exercise right. How long is it going to take a crisis to get you to eat right? Everybody want to pray when hell hits their house. People go, the marriages are doing fine, all of a sudden all hell break loose in the marriage, now they want to pray. But what about the exercise before? Because let me just tell you a secret about the whole exercise game and the diet game. And that is, when crisis hit and you're forced to exercise, it's far more painful than when you've been exercising all along. You go to God when you've been praying, when you've been talking to Him, and some stuff go down. Listen, you don't need days of prayer at that moment. You just need a moment in His presence. You just need one moment to just come and say, listen here now. Now you know we got it like that. Can you fix this? And you get on about your life. You have peace that surpasses understanding. And the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. That's when you exercise in regular. Why do you need a crisis to start eating right? Ain't nothing like the doctor telling you, well, listen, if you don't stop eating all that salt, you're going to die. Real simple. You leaving here. You're going to stroke out. You're going to have a heart attack. We're going to have to cut one of your limbs. And do you know you got people that get those kinds of reports, but because they've not been practicing the right thing, it is almost impossible for them to cut it at that point. I'm just telling you, why don't you do something before you have to do something? Do something before you have to do something. Here we go. Let's see what Jesus had to say. I'll give you scripture. You write it down and look it up for yourself. This will be something you can eat on your own. This is your lunch box. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What's your diet look like? All you doing is consuming this life. You working hard. You stacking your cash. You buying your cars. You buying your houses. Your 401k is solid. You vacationing. You doing all this. Yeah, but Jesus said, what is that? See, you don't live by that alone. That, in fact, that's just a little something. That's the lane yap. So you Louisiana folk know what I'm talking about. That's just a little something. He said, but the real life is by what he's saying. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The blessed folk are hungry after the right thing. Blessed folk, their diet, their appetite is under control. They've decided, I'm not going to look at the commercials. I'm not going to meditate on the wrong thing. He said, the blessed folk are those who intentionally, deliberately hunger after the right thing. I need to pray. I don't know about you. I need to pray. I need some word. I need more of it, and I can't eat too much.
All right.
John 6:63-64, he said, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. He said, now the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. My God. Some of you hear this beautiful message and won't believe. So it ain't brand new. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you how to really get it. But if you don't want to get it, that's okay. Because it's just some of y'all just ain't going to believe. Just not going to believe. John 6:48. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. What are you eating? What's your diet consist of? And then finally, John 7:37-38. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, my God, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.